Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon, I'm Chua Tien Tien with your Market View. Now, yesterday, we talked about key trends in food sustainability investments and how venture capitalists choose the companies they want to invest in. Now, today, we want to take that conversation further by looking at how investors actively manage and grow the startups they've identified. Innovate 360 is one of Singapore's first food-focused startup accelerators. It funds startups, helps them grow through active mentorship, through providing them testing and production facilities, and helping them with further fundraising initiatives. Now, the accelerator is currently supporting over 50 startups in deep tech, agri-tech, sustainability, and consumer packaged goods. And I'm joined by its director, John Ching, who's on the line right now. Hi, John.
Hi, Tian Tian. Thanks for having me today.
Great to have you on our show, as always. John, first of all, we've mentioned it briefly in the introduction, but best to hear it from you. Does Innovate 360 invest in all of the companies within your facilities? How do you choose them? What criteria do they need to fulfill in the first place?
So today we have about 80 over startups. No, we don't invest in all of them. Although we just started a fund, and that fund looks at investing in some of them. What we do really is to help our startups to commercialize. We look at the business model. That's where we are able to differentiate them from other startups. And you know, so when we, you know, when we help our startups, particularly because they are in the early stage, we always tend to look at the founders. And then we try to see how, whether they have that kind of experience, that tenacity to help them grow the business. And I think for us, when we look at investing in them, you know, a big consideration is like how they contribute to food sustainability.
So do you have any preference in terms of the type of companies you want to invest in? For instance, alternative proteins, for instance, meat derivatives and all that.
Okay, so we invest in agri-tech startups. So those that are looking at aquaculture, vertical farming, tech that helps, general agriculture. But at the same time, we also look at food sustainability, and that includes your valorization kind of startups and, of course, plant-based protein. And then we have another vertical which looks at deep tech, which focuses on companies that are in precise fermentation to cell-based, cell culture kind of startups, and of course, consumer packaged goods. So these are the four categories of startups that we look at. And really, you know, the way that we spot really good startups is really because of the founder. And their strategy and how they want to commercialize. But, you know, it's always the founder. Yeah.
And how does Innovate 360 work with this founder? What kind of support do you provide for your startups, especially those that you invest in?
So actually for us, we help them through our infrastructure. So actually by end of this year, we have 5 properties across Singapore. And that's where the startups can, you know, use our shared kitchens, our co-working space. They can use our shared laboratories as well as production spaces. And that's really not just space per se, but it also brings together an ecosystem that helps these startups. And for Innovate 360, we also have our accelerator program, which is a 6-month accelerator program with workshops for industry, by industry, and another 6 months of mentorship by the industry as well. So we have mentors from all walks of life, all different backgrounds and experiences. You know, we have even our local brands like Soup Spoon, the founder of Soup Spoon, Anna, she's one of our supporting mentors, and even Chef Janice Wong, she's also a mentor that helps our startups. But beyond that, you know, we have mentors from corporate companies, from big corporates, but also, you know, in food safety, in corporate finance, in logistics, in branding, you name it. So this kind of expertise really goes a long way to helping these startups. But I think more importantly, because we are close to the industry, so we actually provide our startups with access to the networks. And with over more than 100 network partners that actually help our startups, from distributors, OEM manufacturers, to people in the higher learning institutions that are able to help our startups to scale.
And speaking of support, I have to ask you this question. How effective is the support provided by Innovate360? Do you have an example of how one of your portfolio companies managed to scale up or grow as a result of that support?
Oh yes, certainly. I mean, actually, we have quite a number of success cases. You can look at some of our startups, pretty well known. You can always check us, check our website as well. We mentioned them. But I think one example that I wanted to share was that it's actually an upcoming event that we are actually launching at the end of this month. And it's actually we are co-organizing Feed 9 Billion Singapore Restaurant Week, which happens on 5th to 11th September. So we're actually, I mean, the purpose of this really is to create awareness about alternative proteins, but also look at helping local farmers and supporting food security and food sustainability. And so, in preparation for this event, many of our startups, especially in the ingredient alternative protein ingredient space, they're meeting a lot of the restaurants. So particularly one of them came back to us just yesterday, just told me that they over the last couple of weeks, they met more than 30 restaurants to showcase their ingredients and get the chefs to actually use their ingredients. And yesterday, what he did was so excited to tell me was that the restaurant actually is going to use it permanently on their restaurant menus. And so even from events that we co-organize, or workshops, we connect our startups to the industry. And that's where we've got so many examples of commercialization. And that's, I guess, in the end of at the end of the day, for food startups, in your agri food tech space, at the end of the day, what you want to do is to be able to sell your product, right? And that's what we've managed to help our startups to do.
Well, John, you are really giving us lots of teasers right now. Can you give us a clue as to what this company is producing, or maybe the name of the company if it's not
Oh
sensitive at this
yes,
point?
definitely. So it's Shandy Global. It's a plant-based chicken, and so they use all the different kind of plant-based materials to create their meat textures. So you can imagine having like a chicken fillet, cut into it. You see all the different fibers, and that's one of the startups that managed to just recently just got quite a bit of success. Yeah.
And I do also want to touch on active venture capital investing, right? How does Innovate360 actively manage your portfolio companies? Do you have an example of how you have exercised your voting rights, your veto rights, or pushed for a certain outcome that you feel very strongly for?
Well, to actually use these were actually not so friendly, I would say. I think fortunately for our portfolio company so far, and all our 80 startups, what we do is really we provide that opportunity for them to be connected to the distributors, to the wholesalers, or to the different partners that will help them, like whether or not it's research, to like funding, or all these kind of things. Our startups actually, they actually take that opportunity. So we don't push it to them. We don't say you die need to do it. We don't exercise our voting rights and stuff like that. They tend, and I guess that's also one of the criteria when we invest in them, to see whether or not they are open to our suggestions, and we don't force feed them. We don't actually go into such I guess more formal kind of ways so far.
So far, so good, I would say, right? If you're just tuning in, we are now speaking to John Cheng, director of Innovate360. John, in the meantime, the figure might be different depending on different businesses and all, but what is the difference in return between active and passive VC investing, as far as what you're seeing right now?
So I guess for passive VC investing, I guess you really don't play much of a role except just give funds to the startups. I think for us, we play a very active role, in the sense that, you know, we have our regular meetings with our startups to actually know their progress and see what are the gaps that they actually need that we can fill. And that's how, you know, we differentiate ourselves with quite a few accelerators or VCs out there, where we provide really an active investment, where we come in not just with capital but strategic networks. And I think that's where today in you know VC investing, you know, there are quite a number of VCs out there, and there's a lot of money coming into a lot of startups. So startups are still, you know, today are like slightly different from previously. They are really looking at strategic money. They are looking for, you know, investors who provide a strategic advantage for them to grow their business. And that's where, you know, a lot of them see Innovate360 as one of, you know, the VCs that will be able to provide them opportunity to for them to scale. And that's where for us, when we invest from pre-seed to Series A, and typically our sweet spot is before Series A, because that actually allows us or allows the startups to tap on our ecosystem, our infrastructure, our networks to help them scale. And that's how then they can raise the next round of funding as well.
And I would suppose that you might have some targets for them every year in terms of cash flows and all, but what happens if they fall below that? How would you step in?
Yeah, so I think by having a very regular, you know, regular updates from them, actually we prevent the sudden, oh, like, you know, suddenly you see the numbers just don't come up. So, you know, it's really about maintaining that contact with the startups to understand what the opportunities that they need every quarter or at least every few months. So I think that's how you prevent the sudden, you know, end of the year meeting, and then you realize you're falling behind. So far, a lot of them are doing very well. Actually, most of them are doing really well, despite the current global outlook.
And John, in the meantime, what is your assessment of the food startup scene and where will VCs fit in the greater scheme of things? Or in other words, how will the role of VC investors evolve in the near future?
So I see that, you know, VCs really play a very important role, especially for disruptive kind of startups. I think, you know, because there is so much noise out there, there's so much competition. You know, even though, you know, the food scene in terms of startups is still very nascent, I think that I guess because it's very nascent, so VCs actually play a very big role in nurturing these kind of startups to do good, to do, you know, what they set out to do, providing them with strategic investments, to help them to connect with, you know, the right kind of partners, to grow their business. And I think, you know, we even though we are in the nascent stage, you know, VCs coming in will actually help grow this entire startup ecosystem. And I think how they will really evolve is, you know, basically, I think it's becoming a little bit more blurred because, like I mentioned again, startups today are looking for investors who have strategic impact to their business. And that's where, you know, the VCs need to spend a little bit more time with the startups compared to in the past, where it is really about, you know, passive kind of VC investments. You know, just every year you just report and then okay, you know, that's it. But you know, I think being more active is that kind what VCs will evolve to in future.
And finally, this one asking on behalf of our listeners and also on behalf of people like myself who may be interested. Investing in startups very niche, as you mentioned, people are looking for strategic partners, but how can retail investors also take part in this? Are there any options that we can explore?
If you're an accredited investor, definitely you can participate in our Asia Food Sustainability Fund, which we launched this year. But you know, I think everyone has a role in food sustainability. In, you know, the agri-food tech scene, it's really about starting with your diet. You know, so going going flexitarian like myself once in a while, that actually does help the startup. Or looking at, whether these products are made by startups, are they, I mean, they're always very interesting products that you can find out there. And that's a way that you can support the growth of these kind of startups as well. It's sometimes very interesting. You find very interesting products. We have a startup called Combination that started a couple of years ago. Today, through us, they've also expanded in terms, they were the first factory, kombucha factory in Singapore. And then now they are in all your FairPrice Finest. So, you see the trajectory, they're slowly growing, but it takes not just us as investors coming in or an accelerator to come in to help them. It actually takes the consumer to change their mindsets to think, hey, these are interesting products, why not we support them? Yeah, so that's one way that listeners can actually be part of this whole ecosystem.
So if you can't be an investor, be a consumer. Thank you very much, Jonah. That was John Ching, Director of Innovate 360.
Before acting on the information on MoneyFM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance.